Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses.
Season 17,
Episode 34.
This is Writing Excuses. Dialogue Masterclass, Episode 7, Developing Subtext.
15 minutes long.
Because you're in a hurry.
And we're between the lines.
I'm Dan.
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Maurice.
And I'm Howard.
Awesome. So we are going to talk about subtext today. And I think the very first question I want to ask you, Maurice, is what is subtext?
So subtext. So when I think about subtext, so I'm going to try a math analogy here, so bear with me. So dialogue operates in three dimensions. There's text, subtext, and context. And so the way I think about it is text is like the words on the page. Subtext is what the layer of meaning underneath the words on the page. And context is what's going on around those words. And so when I think about subtext, I mean, we all intuitively understand subtext because, you know, if I come home and my wife is on the couch and watching TV and I go, hey, is anything wrong? And she says, no, everything's fine. Like my spidey senses are going to go off just on an intuitive level. I know something's going on, but the words on the page were, no, everything's fine. And yet I know because of context and subtext, yeah, maybe everything is not fine. So that's why I think about that's one way I think about subtext.
Yeah. Subtext is very useful in a lot of different ways. There's a lot of things that you can accomplish with it. You can say things without coming right out and saying them. You can have the characters inferring and implying things. You can even get around various, you know, censors is some of the ways that I've used subtext in the past as well. So it's a useful dialogue tool because if you can pack something with subtext, you can, it becomes very information rich, right? The same things are being said, but we understand much more than just the words that are being said. So I guess the question is, how do you do that? How do you imbue something with this extra hidden meaning?
So I want to use what the framework that Maurice has already set up, which is that there's the text, subtext, and context. Subtext, and this is important, exists between the text and the context. You cannot have subtext without having context to compare it to. So here's an example, which I think I have used before. So I come from the American South, which is what is called a high context region. So high context culturally means that in order to participate in the conversation, you have to have a lot of context because so much of it happens subtextually. So these are examples like the American South, large parts of Asia, Brazil, as I understand it, will have big parts of the conversation that everybody understands, but is not actually said out loud. So my husband, by contrast, comes from a low context culture, which is you just say things directly and without much subtext. So here's the actual conversation. My mom says, "There's a bag of apples on the counter in the kitchen." And I reply, "Oh, okay, I can have a pie made for dinner tomorrow night." And my husband's like, "Wait a minute. Where did the pie come from?" And I'm like, "Well, she just said that there's a bag of apples on the counter in the kitchen." Because to me, contextually, this is very clear based on the relationship my mom and I have. All of the subtext in there is, "I bought a bag of apples. If you have time to make a pie, it would be really great, but I don't want to put you out." And I'm like, "Oh, making a pie sounds awesome. I don't have time or energy tonight, but I could do it tomorrow night." But you only get the pieces of dialogue on either end of that. "There's a bag of apples on the counter in the kitchen. Great, I can have a pie for tomorrow night." My husband is like, "Don't you think she was just offering you an apple?" And I'm like, "No, because then she would have said, 'Do you want an apple?' Or more likely, because high context society, she would have just brought me apples to avoid the other conversation, which is, 'Would you like an apple?' 'No, thank you, I couldn't.' 'Really, they're very fresh.' 'No, seriously, I just can't take an apple.' 'But these are apples that were picked at my grandmother's farm.' 'Oh, well, in that case, of course I'd love to try an apple." So when you're thinking about this subtext, you have to think about the context that goes around it, because, and this is the other fun thing, people will read the subtext based on their cultural understanding of how subtext works. They will bring their own context to the conversation. So if I said to my husband, "There's a bag of apples on the counter in the kitchen," and he didn't, well, actually, I would never say that to him because I know that I know that he does not have the context. But if I were writing a novel and I wanted to make things awkward, then my character would just say that. And then my character would get mad because he didn't read the subtext, which would be very clear to everyone there. So thinking about the subtext as the unspoken part that is kind of held in suspension between text and context.
Okay, so let me follow this up. Let's say that you were going to put into a book that conversation with your mother. How would you provide the right contextual clues to let a non-Southern audience understand what was really going on?
So this is where you have to use the non-spoken other pieces of dialogue. So we've been talking about dialogue as the lines that are said out loud. But there's also all of the other pieces. There's the body language, and then there's the character's interpretation of the line that is said. So this is where you would deploy something like free and direct speech, where the character interprets it as part of the narrative, so that my character might think, "Oh, yeah, I know that mom really wants a pie. That's why she's mentioning the apples." Or actually, if it's free and direct, "She knew that her mother really wanted a pie. She didn't have the energy to do it that night. So she made a counteroffer. I could have a pie ready tomorrow night."
Awesome.
Yeah. In thinking about the pie thing, it occurred to me that the way the apples are described tells you whether or not they are pie apples or eaten apples.
There's a bag
of apples on the counter.
In the kitchen.
Apples. In the kitchen, on the counter. Yeah, bag of apples in the kitchen. I put apples in the fruit basket on the counter is I found some apples that I think you will love, and I have set them in this basket, and I would love for you to try one because we have this thing about artisanal apples and eating them and whatever. And it's the difference between the bag and the basket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, context.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Making your mental health a priority is always a challenge. And I think it's easy to not prioritize it, especially when you're trying to figure out how to write a book. I think we have some deep cultural idea that artists should be tortured and depressed to make their best work. But in my experience, struggling to find clarity and motivation will hurt your process a lot more than help it. In my own life, therapy has been essential to figuring out how to navigate an industry seemingly designed to give all of us anxiety. Being able to talk to an expert can help you set better boundaries, find a balance between the demands of your work and your art, and navigate the complexities of being a published writer. That said, finding a therapist is never easy, especially if you're not in a major city like I am. That's where a service like BetterHelp can be of use to help you start the process while you figure out what your needs are for your mental health journey. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/WX today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/WX. Hey, writers. Are you thinking about learning a new language? I think exploring the world, experiencing other cultures, and being able to communicate with people outside your everyday experience lets you create richer, better stories. A great way to do that is with Rosetta Stone, a trusted expert for over 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. They use an immersive technique which leads to fast language acquisition. It's an intuitive process that helps you really learn to speak, listen, and most of all, think in the language you're trying to learn. They also feature true accent speech recognition technology that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's like having a voice coach in your home. Learn at home or on the go with a desktop and mobile app that let you download and access lessons even when you're offline. And it's an amazing value. A lifetime membership gives you access to all 25 languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, and, of course, Korean. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Writing Excuses listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Okay, let's pause for the book of the week, which Maurice, this is you this time.
Yeah, so it's a book. It's not out yet. I believe it comes out early 2023. It's called The Lies of the Ajungo, and it's by Moses Ose Utomi. And so it's a novella. I've read this novella twice already. I really love it. I'm just going to read the back cover copy for you real quick. So in the city of lies, they cut out your tongue when you turn 13 to appease the terrifying Ajungo Empire and make sure it continues sending water. Tutu will be 13 in 3 days, but his parched mother won't last that long. So Tutu goes to his Oba and makes a deal. She provides water for her mother, for his mother. And in exchange, he'll travel out to the desert and bring back water for the city. And thus he begins his quest for salvation for his mother, the city, and himself. And the great thing I love about this book is this book moves at the speed of fable, if that makes sense. Moses has a way of just weaving magic into all of his all the lines in this book. So like everything has a certain weight to it, on top of just the lush language that he uses. So I've really enjoyed this book, obviously twice, I love the magic that just this book is just imbued with.
Cool. That is The Lies of the Ajungo by Moses Ose Utomi. That'll be out next year in 2023. So look for it then. Okay. So let's talk some more about subtext. Howard, how are you able to put subtext into the work that you do?
In comics, it's actually pretty easy, because you can have a dialogue bubble whose words disagree with, at least on the surface, the facial expression, the body language of the character. And I didn't have to use words to describe how the character was standing. I can just communicate all of the body language with the dialogue, and the subtext is right there. In prose, it's something that I've had to learn, and something which I've had to actually back off of a little bit, because I can see when I'm writing, I can see the way people are talking, the way they're, the things their faces are doing, the things they're doing with their hands. And I have to decide which of it is important and which of it is not, because I'm capable of describing all of it, but it really slows down a scene when I do that. And so for me, subtext is an exercise in, it's like an exercise in risk reward management. You know, which of these little bits of body language can I describe for the most impact, and which do I just need to let slide because there isn't enough page.
The other thing that you just said that I want to key off of is body language, and seeing them interact. That sometimes what the subtext is not a specific line that I just didn't say out loud. Sometimes the subtext is just a mood. You know, that the subtext is this character is annoyed all the way through the scene. Because there's what's called direct versus indirect communication. And I referred to this earlier. Direct is, will you pass the salt? Indirect is there salt? Even more indirect is, ooh, this food is a little bland. Although,
oh, that's actually, direct.
Yeah, that is direct. Actually, scratch that. Those are fighting words. Unless you're in like a... But thinking about when you're crafting that subtext, thinking about your character's emotional state is also going to really express, really help you guide how that happens.
Yeah. So okay.
Go ahead, Maurice.
So one way I think about subtext, just like May Robinette said, is just like, so subtext is the emotional charge underneath what's being said, right? And a lot of times, you're, as you're seeing the scene, the characters they're going to betray what they're really feeling in several subtle different ways, right? Again, I'm a TV junkie, but one of the shows I watched, one of the police procedurals I watched, which really was helped me out a lot in this, was a show called, it only lasted like three seasons, called Lie to Me. And it was based on a book by Paul Ekman. I think he wrote a book called Telling Lies, but it's all about micro expressions, right? And so just watching how they would explain how micro expressions work, all of a sudden I'm just like, oh, hang on. So now I'm getting to see just the direct correlation between what the body betrays about what the person's really feeling. And now I'm able to convey that in the text. And so, and for us as writers, it's like, oh, I don't need as many dialogue tags if I'm writing, you know, their physical reaction to something. What was their physical reaction? What was their facial expression? What other kind of body language are they betraying with what's being said in the moment? So that's one of the things that helped a lot.
So while we're talking about this, I actually want to talk about the opposite of subtext, which is on the nose. Because one of the flaws that you'll see sometimes with early career writers or published writers, too, is that you'll read something and you're like, wow, that's really on-the-nose dialogue. And what that means is that the character is saying exactly what they're thinking in the moment without any subtext at all. And it is exactly serving the plot in that moment. There's no tension. It's just statements that
are
not.
There's nothing to unpack.
There's nothing to unpack at all. And it's fine for a character to do that occasionally. But if you have a string of it where everyone is doing that, that's where you wind up with on-the-nose dialogue.
Yeah, both on-the-nose dialogue and subtext can be very useful tools culturally. Mm-hmm. So a good example of on-the-nose being very good, I just watched a movie from India called RRR, and it's about two guys, two revolutionaries in the early 1900s in India who end up meeting each other. And then there's a song, because it's an Indian movie and they have songs. They have a whole song where the lyrics are as on the nose as it could be. These two guys just met each other. Now they're best friends, even though one of them is secretly working against the other one and doesn't realize it. Like, it's the whole plot of the movie just described to you by a guy singing a song. Culturally, that's really valuable because I'm not a part of that culture. There are nuances to their interaction and to their relationship that I would have missed without that song to say, hey, gringo who's watching this, let me explain some stuff to you. At the same time, subtext can be really useful for cultural reasons as well. Some of the write-for-hire stuff that I have written, I wanted to make two of the characters gay, and they did not let me. For corporate reasons. They're like, no, we will not allow that. We're not going to have gay characters. So I was able to make them clearly gay in subtext so that someone looking for it will be able to see it. And someone who doesn't want that in their fiction doesn't have it. That kind of stuff is so useful as a way of giving your audience the kind of stuff that they need. The ability to see yourself in fiction, especially for marginalized groups, often comes through subtext because we can't say it out loud.
Yes. And just again, to underline what Dan is talking about, the thing is that those clues are there for someone who has the right context and is looking for it.
Absolutely.
But for someone who does not live in that context, they aren't there. And also, I think that we should all acknowledge that that the corporate overlords are in the wrong in that particular case.
Absolutely. That was the subtext of my statement, yes.
Yes. I was saying the quiet part out loud for you.
Thank you very much.
Very on the nose.
Yes. So let's slide into our homework. I want you to, we're going to force you to develop subtext. I want you to take a work in progress. If you want to grab that transcript that we had earlier, that's also fine. But grab a scene with dialogue where you understand what's going on in that scene. And as a writing exercise, I want you to just delete every third line, regardless of who's saying it, regardless of how important it is. I just want you to delete every third line and then go back and try to use nonverbal cues to make the dialogue still make sense.
This is writing excuses. You are out of excuses. Now go write.
For this episode of Writing Excuses, your hosts were Dan Wells, Mary Robinette Kowal, Maurice Broaddus, and Howard Taylor. It was engineered by Daniel Thompson and mastered by Alex Jackson. To find more of Writing Excuses and support us, check out patreon.com/writingexcuses.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.